Hello and welcome to the Joking Dolphin Gaming Podcast, where we discuss everything regarding the world of video games. I'm Mark, and as always, I'm joined by Matthew.
Hello.
And Nathan.
Hello, Dave.
How are we doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. It is absolutely boiling this week. It has been terrible. I've just been absolutely sweating buckets, but I'm raring to go as always for this podcast. So
unlucky, Matt. I bought an air conditioner this week, so you peasants can sweat buckets and I'll be okay.
So this last week we had the EA Play event, didn't we? Did anybody actually watch it, or was it just
the highlights?
There was a lot of things about just things coming to Steam, is my impression from the early stages of it.
EA seems to be making a play on actually, you know, sharing their games out away from the Origin platform on PC and opening their love back up to Valve and Steam, which, I mean, more games on more platforms can only be a win for them.
Yep, I guess so. So they mentioned a new season for Apex Legends, not particularly something I'm interested in, but I know I'd be excited for some people.
That's going to be coming to Switch, and it's going to be cross-played on PC, Stadia, Xbox and PlayStation. So, yeah, you'll be able to play with anybody that you like, so that's always good.
Or not like.
yeah, potentially.
And then they also said that The Sims 4 was coming to Steam as well, didn't they?
They did. I wasn't the impression it was already on there, but I might have been thinking of 3. I think The Sims 3 and all of its expansions of about 500 quid's worth is on there.
The expansions are extortionate, unless you can get a bundle deal.
Even then. Oof.
Now, I quite liked the guy they introduced, Joseph Farris. I don't know if you know who he is, but he developed a game called A Way Out a few years ago, which I really
liked. Oh, yeah.
And he was on to introduce his new game, which is called It Takes Two, which to me sounds like a TV game show. But so basically, it's about a child that tries to cope with her parents' divorce by creating two dolls that come to life. And as I say, A Way Out is I don't know if either of you played it, but it was an exclusively cooperative game. You couldn't play it single player. It's like it was like a two player split screen, either couch or online. So you could play with anyone in the world if you wanted. And if you bought the game, you actually got a free code to give to someone else. So it wasn't like both players needed to buy the game.
Yeah.
If you bought it, you could just offer a code to someone else. So I played that one.
Oh, that's really cool.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea.
And you had to work together to try and escape from a prison. It's really good. You should play that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But it did, is it Brothers of Tales of Two Sons? Is that what you're called?
Was it like A Tale of Two Brothers?
Something like that. I can't quite remember the title, but yeah, he did that one as well before A Way Out.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was quite critically acclaimed as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to what is this new one is.
Oh, cool. You've played A Way Out, did you?
Yeah, I've completed The Way Out. Yeah, really good.
Maybe me and Nathan can have a look at it. We can see how it goes.
Yeah,
definitely. I'd love to watch that just to see if you're able to cooperate properly. The communication would need to be.
We'll play it and then you can watch it. Like, if we do on like a stream or something, you can like just.
Yeah, that's it. That'd be great.
Stupid stuff that we do.
I would totally be down for that. I could.
What platform is it on?
PS4.
PS4. Oh,
I think it was on most platforms, wasn't it?
So. Yeah, I think it was.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to give that a go, Matt.
So we had another game called Lost in Random, which was developed by Zonk Games. So this was this seemed to have like an obvious Tim Burton-esque fairy tale style to it, like gothic. I've read what the developers have said about it. Apparently it's a light RPG with action-based and tactical combat with a board game twist. Not quite sure what that is. Well, there was a character in it who was a dice. I don't know if you saw any of this. So I guess that sort of makes sense. It's rather unique, but perhaps not in style, but in premise. So keep an eye on that.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
And then there's a really uninteresting game I found, I have to say, and that's Rocket Arena. which was like a 3v3 arena shooter. Just looks generic. And we seem to be getting a lot of these cookie cutter templates from like the likes of Fortnite and Overwatch. And it seems to fall into that category from what I thought.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll be giving that one a miss. But if that's your thing.
Oh, but Mark, it's three. We could all do it together. It'd be great.
I'll just stand in the corner and just let you do it.
Oh, I've been forever trying to get us all on Fortnite. But
yeah, well, one of these days we'll get Mark on Fortnite.
No, you won't.
That'd be brilliant.
We will.
It's not going to happen.
It's just the building.
Just not going to happen. No. And then we also got Madden 21 and FIFA 21. They're things.
Madden, meh, FIFA.
They
didn't show.
No,
much,
but it's just. Yeah, but if you don't see anything, then it doesn't mean anything. They announce it every year, so it's nothing to get excited about, is it?
That's true. Yeah. You're going to get career mode. And...
Were they really short? There were short videos, weren't they? Or were they just stills?
I think they were short videos, weren't they?
Yeah, it was like, ooh, look at Mbappe in the rain sweating.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at those graphics. Like, mate, if the shooting mechanics is rubbish, then I don't care if he's sweating.
Yeah. I mean, they've said that more information is going to come out in August, haven't they? So I suppose we'll just have to wait and see about the gameplay. If they do anything with career mode, I guess not. Or pro clubs.
Yeah, like, and if this was a typical year, most FIFA details come out at Gamescom, the one that's held in Germany, which I think is in August, I think. July, August time. So we'll probably know more around then. That's usually where they're like, right, here's what we do with career mode now. Here's the new journey, or what are we going to do with Volta. Here's all the things we're not going to do for pro clubs for the 10th year in a row. I have a biasism that they're very lazy with pro clubs, but anyway. So,
well, yeah, if it's not Ultimate Team and it's not going to make money, then...
Yeah. But it could. They could do so much with pro clubs and the esports scene that they could just tap into, and it's just for sure.
Do you know, if they did that, that'd be great, because we could be Olympians. Our pro club could be the best in the world.
Japan 2021.
Yeah, that's it. They were talking about doing it for Fortnite.
Oh, God. Could you imagine Fortnite in the Olympics?
You see, I told Lisa. I can see her.
You'll see the gold winners like dabbing on the podium, doing the floss.
Go on. We did that, flinging your medal across the room.
So dabs and like the metal just drops on the floor, and you just like absolutely.
On the other hand, anyway, they save money on all the materials to make the medals because they could just be virtual. But anyway,
well, they'd be worth winning, wouldn't they?
It's all about the pride.
Madness. The pride.
Yeah.
It's all about the things, Nathan. Right, Skate 4 got announced as well. And that's all they said. They just said,
Skate
4's coming out. That's it.
They pretty much came out like, right, you've annoyed us so much, we're going to finally make the game.
Or because Tony Hawk's remake got announced, that they decided, yeah, we might as well get on this and try and make one. I don't think they've even barely started yet.
No, well, I think I read sometime this week they were actually looking at like hiring people for the game. So, but
it's coming, but we're not telling you when.
Yeah,
5 years from now.
Well, I hope it's actually pretty good. The last skate that I played, which was Skate 3, was a really good skateboarding game. It probably is at the moment like still the best you can get for like real skateboarding simulation, I suppose. And the amount of like glitches and ragdoll physics you'll see from that game, like so many videos and memes from it, it's fun. But yeah, I think once we know more about it and once they show it off, I think it'll be pretty good.
It's just such a terrible way to end the event, though. So it's like this is the final stamp on it. So like the big finish, and then we just got this damp squib, two blokes sat behind a desk just saying, "Yeah, Skate 4's coming. Bye."
Yeah, I think they were. I mean, the announcement of the news, if they showed off gameplay, then it would have been like a perfect way of, well, it'd been the best way of ending it, but I think they were just kind of hoping that just announcing it
would be enough.
To back off. Stop saying.
Yeah, stop asking us. It's coming.
Stop it.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But. Obviously, they went into depth of another game, didn't they, before that, which was Star Wars Squadrons.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on this one, then? Are we excited or not?
I'm excited about it. I've never really played... Well, I don't really play too many Star Wars games. I can remember the last game that's a bit like this that I played was one on PS2 that came out near its release, or it might have been a release one. And I can remember crashing my ship a lot because I was quite young. But anyway, I'm hoping I'll be a bit better on this one, but it does look like a really beautiful game from what I've seen. It looks like you can use various different ships. You can change the colours and customise them. What I am really looking forward to is fleet battles. So if we could like play together as a fleet against a different fleet, I wonder how that's going to work. But I'm actually fairly... looking forward to it. Yeah,
I thought it looked really good. Immediately when I saw the cinematic trailer that was revealed first, I was like, "How the game was revealed." It immediately reminded me of a similar Starfighting game that Star Wars did on GameCube that was called Rogue.
Is it Rogue Squadron?
I think it was Rogue Squadron was the first one that was on the N64, and then as the series progressed, I think it was known as Rogue Squadron 3 Rogue Leader? I could be wrong on that one. Probably am. But like, if you still got GameCube, that would be a brilliant game to pick up. It's still probably like one of the best Starfighter games in the Star Wars series. So, yeah, once I saw this and then saw like the gameplay of it as well, it looks like what I think everyone's kind of wanted from like a proper, you know, dogfighting between, you know, the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters. And I'd like to know more from it.
It gave us a few details. So there's a single player campaign that's split across two factions. So you've got the Vanguard Squadron for the Rebels and the Titan Squadron on the Empire side. You can play the whole game in VR. That's something I'm interested in. Did either of you play the VR in the reboot of Battlefront?
I didn't know.
Oh, that was was it Battlefront VR, like experience, something like that.
Yeah, I can't quite remember what it was called, but it was good. It was really good. That was
no, I didn't play it, but like the video scene of it looked very impressive.
So I think I'll go into that game playing it in VR to begin with. I think. I don't think I'll play the...
Let me know if you get dizzy.
Well, I didn't on that previous thing. So it's good because, like, you know, you're sat in your cockpit and you got all the flashy lights and all the noises.
Yeah.
You turn around and you can see your R2-D2 or whatever the robot was called. Yeah, it's really good. And cool. I noticed in this one you can like get trinkets to hang up in your cockpit.
Oh, nice fluffy dice.
Yeah, and there's like a hologram of like some. Monster or something you can have, and there's like
I hope they got the dice that Han Solo's got.
It's guaranteed. It's gonna be in there, isn't it? And there was like a charm for the Millennium Falcon that was hanging up. And
oh, that's cool.
What was it? Was it an Ewok bobblehead? I think it was. Was the other one?
I would not be surprised.
But instead of like a traditional hood, obviously you use the instruments on your display in the cockpit. And in the main story, you play as two combat pilots fighting on both sides, so it kind of like interweaves the stories. Now you've got 8 ships, 4 on each side, but they have like the same functionality, so 4-on-4.
Yeah,
but I can't really be bothered to go through all of them.
I'd be able to list them off, but
it's like each one's got a bomber and an interceptor and something like that.
You can
customize your pilot and your ships. And then they said something that really caught my attention here. And they said, you can customize your pilot Starfighter simply by playing the game. I mean, what? That's just them going, there's no microtransactions, honest. Just come play. But
thanks for that.
Yes. Maybe they're just trying to learn off the back of the last Battlefront, aren't they?
So yeah, probably.
Just let them get that one in there.
Apologizing for, aren't they?
Yeah. So So you can get 50 components, over 50 components for your ship, which helps it, which alters how it flies, fights, and survives. So you can edit your ship based on whatever strategy you want to employ into you.
Mm.
As you mentioned earlier, fleet battles. So these are like multi-stage conflicts that play out in a sort of tug-of-war style. So you will advance and retreat when it's necessary to try and overthrow your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So you start off trying to win an open dogfight in the center, then you attack or defend two medium-sized capital ships, and then you push on to destroy the enemy's flagship. It makes me wonder how long those battles could go on for, if they keep going back and forth. That could be a long thing, unless it's some sort of timer.
Yeah. If it's anything like Battlefield, I think it was Battlefield 5, there's a similar mode in there where it's a bit of a tug of war, in that sense that like one side pushes, the other defends. If one side can't complete the objective time, the map kind of resets back to a neutral ground where then you've got to fight back over that again. I've been in a game like that for about an hour.
Right.
Like, absolute.
Oh, just going for a quick game.
Imagine losing that one though.
I think thankfully we did win. My side did win, so it was a relief. But they can be very long games. I'm hoping they'll probably implement potentially like a time limit, just like right. If no one wins, then it's a tie, or whoever did the furthest, you know, got further into the advancement, maybe.
And then there was also the dogfight mode, wasn't it? Which is just a simple 5-on-5 battle.
Yeah, it's just a traditional squad against squad, basically.
So that was just about everything that was mentioned about Squadrons. I'm sure more will come out. Oh, there was a release date as well, wasn't there?
2nd of October.
Other news. Warner Brothers registered domains for Suicide Squad and Batman Gotham Knights. What do we think to that?
I'll probably need to know more. If only that, I think with the news for the Suicide Squad, further news came through with that in that it was confirmed that it's going to be Rocksteady's next game. Like, finally, we know what Rocksteady are going to be working on. Well, I mean, how long has it been since Arkham Knight?
We've celebrated its 5th anniversary, I think, recently.
I thought it was longer than that.
It feels like it, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've got the pedigree that they know what they're doing when it comes to the Batman universe. So I think once we finally get a first look of it, I think it'll be pretty exciting. The other one, Gotham Knights, not sure what to make of it. It could be the name for the next Batman game. That's the... Is it Warner Brothers?
Montreal? Yeah, Montreal. Yeah.
So they're one that did Batman Arkham Origins, which I think's quite underrated.
Yep, I was just going to say that. Yeah, I think that's an underrated game.
I think, at least story-wise, really enjoyed it. It's got some of the best boss fights in the Arkham series.
Yep, I agree with that.
Troy Baker, I think, does an excellent job at portraying a very young Bart Hamill. But yeah, it could be the next Batman game. It could be something else, because I remember there was like a free-to-play multiplayer game that was set in Gotham, but it was a bit, it had like a cartoony style to it that sounded similar. That thing was quite called Gotham Knights, but it was somewhat similar to that. I mean, if it's the next Batman game, I'll just tell me what it is. I'm just waiting.
Yeah, it's got to that point where I just want another one.
Yeah, we've had like so many hints over the last like 8 to 12 months.
Yeah, all the rumors that I just keep flying about. It's just like just announce it, just show us. Puts us out of his misery. So there was another announcement.
And it's about time. I think we can all agree it's about time.
So I see what you did there. So it's Crash Bandicoot 4.
It's about time.
Are you excited by this one, Nathan?
Yes, very excited. Also out on the 2nd of October, by the way, for Xbox and PS4. So it's been confirmed that it's going to be over 100 levels as well. So lots of content. Yeah,
over 100 levels. I didn't spell that one. Where did that come from?
Just recently. Yeah.
That's madness.
It is madness. And I think it's the Crash game that we've been waiting for. Let's face it, there's been a bit of dross recently. Not recently, but over the last few years. It's not been great.
we'll say
it's
between,
not been the same.
Yeah, we'll say between Crash 3 came out and like to the remaster.
Wrath of Cortex went too bad for PS2.
I never played it. I always heard it was a decent attempt. The bad fourth child, as it's going to get wiped out of history now.
Yeah.
But yeah, between then, there's nothing really redeemable until the remasters came out. So yeah, I did appreciate that the trailer came out towards the end. When the mask character was like, have you been this guy before? And Coco's like, yeah, 3 times. He's like, ah, I could have swore it was more. Like, a proper just pun on like, yeah, there's been other games, but shh.
So I think the premise to the game is that you've sent Cortex back in time. Is that correct? And he's being given time to build himself up and try and thwart Crash. But looking at the trailer, it looks like he can play as Crash, Coco, and Cortex as well. So they've all got their own levels and parts. The platforming looks really good. It looks really colourful and fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's, as we said, it has been a long time coming. Another Crash game that's going to be like this. So, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Pretty much the same. Looking forward to it. I mean, it's been made by the guys who did the Spyro remaster, which I think was also really well received. I think that's been pretty good. So I think all faith there that they can be faithful to Crash Bandicoot. I think, like you said as well, it looks like the new masks that they'll be able to use are like based on like space and time. Because I think as you mentioned, in the end of Crash 3, you send Cortex and the evil mask, I forgot the name.
Aku Aku,
was it? Yeah, that's the one. Thank you. You send him back in time. And so he's had like all this time to be able to plan his revenge, and he's just ended up and done like a Terminator / Doctor Who doing paradoxes and stuff. but yeah, it looks good. Like they show off the two powers, which I think one was be able to slow down time when you need to, and I think the other one was altering gravity. So we've showed off two of the four masks, and I'm sure they'll reveal the other two down later in the year.
So we also had a rumour, didn't we? Is it Need for Speed Hot Pursuit? I didn't hear about this myself, but did you hear about it?
I caught it out of the corner of my eye. I think it was reported by videogamechronicles.com. Don't want to try and advertise too much. That they spotted that EA was going to be making a remaster of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, the one that was made in 2010 by Criterion Games. I think that one is considered like one of the better ones over the last 10 to 12 years of like kind of after they did Most Wanted 2, which was the original one on like the PS2 and that, which I think everyone considers is like pretty much the best one in the series. They've not really been able to kind of recapture what made Need for Speed so good for people.
I enjoyed Most Wanted. That was great. Do you know, like with the blacklist that you went down, beating them 15 races. I thought Carbon were good as well. For me, it fell down when he got to Pro Street. I just didn't like it. It was too racing sim and just in a box for me. Like a really good Need for Speed game is, well, pretty much what Hot Pursuit is. You got your racers on the streets and you can customize your cars. You get chased by the police and you can go and evade them. And it's just a lot of fun, really. So if it's true, I am very much looking forward to it.
Okay, so we had some other Pokemon news as well, didn't we?
Yes, we did. So throughout the last 2 weeks, we had two Pokemon Presents. They were kind of about 11 minutes long each. The first one focused on quite a few things. So they've released a new sort of phone app that's called Pokemon Smile, aimed for making brushing your teeth fun. Is probably the best way I could put it. I do believe our residential Nathan has been actually testing it.
Our resident Nathan. Yes, I actually downloaded it earlier and I gave it a go. So, it was quite fun for kids and adults both. So when you start the app up, you get the option to pick like a Pokemon to be your hat. So because I've got a cat called Eevee, I picked Eevee, but you can pick Pikachu, Squirtle, and a few other ones. And basically, you video yourself brushing your teeth, and it'll tell you if you're doing a good job or not. And as you're brushing, you don't know this, but it takes pictures. So after you finish your brush, it will show you these embarrassing pictures of you brushing your teeth. So yeah, they weren't too flattering, but yeah, it's quite fun. And I got a little sticker and it said, "You brush your teeth for the first time." I'm like, wow, the first time in 28 years I've brushed my teeth. That's great.
And now you've got pearly whites.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I won't go that far, it's a fun little app, and I think definitely good for. Good for kids and getting them interested in brushing the teeth. You can actually set a timer on it so it lets you know when you need to brush your teeth. So yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, cool. Past that, they also announced a sort of free-to-play puzzle game for the Switch that's called, it was Pokemon Cafe Mix. I don't think they revealed too much about it. I think how the kind of puzzling works is that you've got kind of all these kind of groups of Pokemon. You'll see them like in like little heads and stuff that fill up this this kind of, I suppose, square play area, and you have to round them up around other ones as well to kind of like capture them and stuff. For a free-to-play game, I suppose it won't be too bad. I think I did download it, but I've not given it a try yet, so I think I'll look into that at some point between now and the next podcast, probably. Probably the biggest thing that came out from the first Pokemon Presents was they are finally making a sequel to Pokemon Snap, which I'm absolutely excited about. I think the first one that came out on N64 was just something really different, but like really fun in how like you go through these different levels being like a photographer and like taking photos of just like Pokemon doing random stuff. But then you could interact with the Pokemon by like throwing apples out, you know, they'd come up with the apples and eat them, or you could throw like a play ball that they play with. But if you did it to certain Pokemon and like in a certain condition, they would do something like, I don't know, like they'd, you could hit, say like Slowpoke into the river, and then suddenly it comes out and it's somehow evolved into a Slowbro, you know, or you threw an apple at a Magikarp trying to go up the waterfall. And then it would come out of the waterfall and it'd be evolved as a Gyarados. And you could get like really cool photos and stuff, and it was just so like different but like really kind of just fun to play.
So what I'm hearing is it's an on-rail shooter for kids.
you could probably put it like that. Graphically, if it keeps the graphics that it was showing off, it's probably like the prettiest Pokemon game they'll ever make. So I'm looking forward to what it was feeling. And then and then the second Pokemon Presents was solely dedicated to their big project that they're doing. It's called Pokemon Unite. So Pokemon Unite is their attempt at a MOBA title, which is a massive online battle arena. It's similar to League of Legends, which is like probably the biggest game outside of Fortnite for like esports stuff, like the amount of money that is pumped into that. But yeah, so it's kind of, it's a team of 5 Pokemon, and you essentially battle the other team in essentially arena that's got certain what they call goal points on both sides. And you're like, the point of what the game is about is you have to catch Pokemon by battling like these NPC Pokemon. You get points for it and you would level up as well. And the more you level up, you're eventually going to evolve into like the next stages for the Pokemon that you're playing as. So you like power up as you catch more Pokemon. And then when you take these Pokemon to your goalposts, you essentially catch them. And it's pretty much whichever team gets the most points wins, while you're also battling the other team as well for like their stuff. It looks okay. I've never really been a massive fan of the MOBA genre. It's got its fans. I'll probably give it a try when it does come out, but it's probably not one that's on my radar.
You never know. You might get right into it and it'll take over your life. You'll be there money hand over fist trying to do it.
I'll over there in like the next Pokemon Unite tournament. Fine for $2 million.
Yeah, that's it. I'm taking 2 weeks off work.
You'll never see me again. Next thing was Square Enix revealing more about the Avengers game that they're working on. So they had a video event that they named the Avengers War Table. And it was pretty much just showing off more of what their game is about, which... from what I took of it, is if someone made Destiny 2 but put an Avengers skin on it and made it third person.
I hope there's more to it than that. Because I have to say, when I first saw this Avengers game get shown, it didn't grab me. It didn't grasp me at all, really. And I don't know why, because Crystal Dynamics is good. You know, I liked the 2D reboot that they did. So yeah. I shouldn't be feeling this trepidation about it. And I love the Avengers. So it should be like a great blend. But what I've seen, it's not excited me at all for any reason.
Yeah. So, I mean, what they did show off is they showed off one solo mission that you play as Thor, where you're flying on top of the helicarrier, where AIM has got their machines trying to take over the helicarrier or something like that. And the combat looks okay, but it also looks a bit floaty. I don't know, it's hard to describe, because like it looks like when you're trying to hit stuff, it doesn't look like it's quite, you don't get that feel like you actually Thor. It just feels a little generic, unfortunately.
I just thought there's too much going on. And that's what
Oh, with Thor's powers, yeah, with like all the lightning was going down.
Yeah, there's just a lot of things happening. I'm just like, what? I don't know what I'm controlling here. I don't know what's just happening itself. But I did learn the combat. One of the key developers who was working on the combat actually did the one for God of War. So actually, that's a positive in my view. So hopefully, that might be better than what that's showed. But my hope is, I'm definitely going to play this game. I'm definitely going to get it on launch, even though, as I just said, I'm not particularly, it's not really exciting me. But I'm just hoping that once I get it in my hands and I start playing it, that something might just click and it might feel better than what it looks. And actually, this Warzone thing, you know, they announced the co-op missions, didn't they? So you can have like up to 4 players just doing a mission. And you can also do it solo, can't you? With AI companions with you. Actually, I quite like the sound of that. I'd totally get into that. I'd try that out. But I'm still not sold on the single player yet.
Yeah, I think I would like to see more of the other heroes and sort of how they handle. Because I think at the moment there's been kind of a core focus on how Thor plays, especially when like the first gameplay got revealed. It was all about Thor, really.
That large Thor piece as well, didn't it? Yeah.
Which kind of on the one hand makes me a little worried that like, right, we're trying to distract you with Thor and we don't really want to show all the others quite yet. Mm. Although the stuff that they showed off of Miss Marvel's stuff looked pretty fun. She looks like she'd be a quite cool character to control. But yeah, I think I just need to see more of it in like a concrete idea on what I think this game could be.
That's something I didn't like, is that when this event started, the first screen that popped up showing like a, you know, like age rated, and underneath it said for in-game purchases, and I'm just like, yeah, really?
That's where we're at now, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and all that sound. And then later on in the actual thing, they mentioned that some of the outfits would be available on the online marketplace. So again,
yeah,
microtransactions, so like, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they've always touted that this game is going to be, you know, like a live service game, so it's always going to be updated. It's going to add new stuff to it after launch. You know, like I said, it feels at the moment it looks very Destiny 2-ish with, like, especially when you see Thor hits enemies and numbers start popping out of the head, you know, and you're like, you know, it just doesn't make you feel like you are actually like the God of Thunder. But yeah. Like I said, I'll probably need to see more before I make a solid idea on it.
Yeah. I'm just hoping once I get hold of it, I'll think very differently of it.
Mm.
I hope so.
It would be cool if they do a beta. I'd be interested to,
yeah,
to
get a test. I think they might have mentioned it at the end. Something about in the next episode, because this is going to be a series of events, isn't it?
Yes.
I think they
mentioned
it.
Yeah, so they'd mentioned the next War Tale we're doing. I think they're going to mention a new hero that's going to be in the game. I don't know if they mentioned that was going to be a DLC hero or not. And I think they did say there was going to be something about news on the bear. So hopefully, when the bear does come out and we do get our hands on it, it'll be pretty good to play. But I suppose we'll find out.
Yep. So in a similar fashion, CD Projekt Red did a similar sort of event, didn't they, for Cyberpunk 2077. A game I'm really looking forward to. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah. In a similar fashion, they've released a video that I think the series is going to be called Night City Wire. Essentially just showing off more news about what's probably this year's most anticipated game. So they showed off a new trailer, which looks as though it was all based on just the prologue. And I was actually really surprised when they said that, because the trailer shows off a lot.
Yeah, doesn't look good.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it looks very good. I mean, like, it was showing off, you know, some more of the dialogue options and stuff.
Yeah, so they mentioned there was 6 districts, was it? And then there was a 7th one, which is, like, outside the city walls. Called the Badger.
Yeah.
I think it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's almost like Deus Ex meets Mad Max or something. But, yeah, it looked really good. And then they were showing off a little bit more about a particular mode that's going to be in the game that's called Brain Dance. So what it looks as though is that it was a way of being able to sort of see a part of the day from sort of like a virtual reality sense. So like you could... It was primarily focused on one person who you could suddenly play as. Well, you couldn't really play as, but you saw through what was going on through like his own eyes, essentially. So like what he could taste, what he could smell, what he could see and stuff. And they did this little bit where he goes to rob a grocery store, and then as he leaves, he gets shot, and the guy didn't see who shoots him, so you're able to sort of rewind and go back through all these different sort of elements of like, right, what happened? What did this person see? Where did this noise come from? Let's investigate this place. What did this camera see? And you essentially, it's almost kind of like how Batman Arkham Knight's detective mode worked, in a sense that like you could, in virtual reality, see essentially a crime scene and figure out, right, what happened to this guy? Right, he got shot from this distance. Where did that go? Who's, you know? And it was just essentially like a almost kind of like a murder mystery whodunit sort of bit.
Yeah, so it's like an augmented reality, like remake of people's memories and things like things like are spotted on camera, so you can like hack into the like security cameras to see what that camera is showing at that particular time, and then you just you piece all the pieces together to solve the puzzle. And I really liked them in the in those Arkham games. So I'm gonna.
Yeah, it gave me a hint of Remember Me. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yeah,
Remember Me had a lot of it was based on being able to hack people's memories and doing that kind of thing of where you see a memory of this person and like going through and being able to actually mess with that person's memory as well, so they would remember it different to how it actually was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty cool bit of that game as well. And if this game replicates anything of that, plus, you know, the detective stuff in Arkham Knight, that'll be pretty cool.
I'm looking forward to seeing more from that newswire.
I do want to see more news about it. I think they showed a little bit more of Keanu Reeves' character in it as well.
He just swears.
Yeah, he just stands there and looks like Keanu Reeves, and then you sell the game for millions because it's Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
So other than that, I think they also made an announcement of a new anime series in collaboration with Netflix, which is going to be called Cyberpunk Edge Runners, but it won't be coming until 2022. So not much information was revealed about this one. Whether it's, you know, is this something to go in line with the game? Is it a prequel? Will it be a sequel? We don't know. We'll have to wait on that one. And then we got the unfortunate news that Cyberpunk got delayed again to the 19th of November. So we've got to wait even longer for it.
I can deal with that, though.
As long as it's done right, isn't it? That's the main thing. As long as they've done this.
I was thinking about this the other day. It's just like, because I'm so looking forward to this game. So I want to play it on the best possible way I can. So obviously, it's like, it's a double-edged sword. It's like, shall I play it when it comes out and so play it on the PS4? Or do I wait until the PS5 comes out and start playing it then? But I really want to play it, so can I wait? And I'm conflicted about it.
You know what you should do? You should have the best of both worlds. Buy on PS4, play it for a bit, and then get your free upgrade to PS5 and then play it better.
I know you can do that, but like when you start it off, I want that wow moment when I start playing, you see.
Yeah.
Oh, who knows? Maybe it's surprising that the PS5 will come out before then.
Mm.
Watch this space. You never know.
True.
Yeah, speaking of Sony, they made a patent for multitasking and subscreen on the PS5. So basically it seems like if you're playing a game, you can start watching YouTube videos by having it on like a pop-up screen. And
I think it looks really interesting. Yeah.
In the patent, they had like blueprints of how it might look like.
And then they had like a banner to the left and the right.
Yeah.
So I think it looks good. I mean, what you could potentially use it for is if you want to watch a playthrough, if you're stuck on something, then you could use it for something like that. So you can follow along with your game and the playthrough. You could use it for maybe social media. So say you're streaming the game, but you're on Twitter or something. It depends what it's going to be used for. I mean, the possibilities are nearly endless as to what they could do with it, as to integrating it with social media and different streaming services and stuff.
My only worry on this one is that Microsoft made an attempt on this on the Xbox One when it came out. They had their own, they call it like a snap feature, where you could play a game and then you could snap, say, Twitter to a side panel. So you can, you know, you scroll through Twitter while you're playing the game, or if you, you know, if you're watching YouTube, you could have Internet Explorer as well on a side panel. But I don't know how often it was really used, because it did get removed kind of fairly early into the Xbox One's lifespan, just because it took too much of the OS's power up that should have really gone to, you know, the games and stuff. So I'll be interested to see Sony's take on it, how they handle it. I mean, one use I could see it'll be really good is for Twitch and streaming. So, you know, you stream your game, and then you've got your Twitch chat just there, so you can see, still interact with your audience and stuff. So that'll be pretty cool. But yeah, we'll see how it goes, I suppose, how it's implemented.
Then finally, we got, well, an apparent leak about an Xbox Series X Lockhart, I think it was called.
Mm.
Yeah, so this is the small white box that's potentially going to be Xbox's digital-only offering off the back of Project Scarlet. So, I mean, from what I've seen of it, it's going to be, the gameplay is going to be between 1080p and or 1440p. So it's going to be a little bit of a step down as to the Series X. But I've also seen that the price point could be as low as $200. So what do you expect for the price point? Yeah, I think it's just to try and come into line with what Sony's revealed, because they've got a discless version. And you've got to think of the next gaming generation.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if this is true, because then it'll... There might be an emphasis of what does Sony do with their digital edition, because we don't know much about it other than it's going to be digital only. Could it be the same as?
I think
is this
would.
One.
I think they would have already announced that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shown it. I doubt they'd reveal both of them and then suddenly say, "Oh, but by the way, the digital one's actually a bit naff compared to the main one." I don't think they'd do that.
I think they've just edged the bets in terms of who's going to get what, and they've catered to everybody, really. The people that do want the digital only, and the people that enjoy having the physical side of things. So we'll see what comes out with it. But personally, I'll be getting the full version, the big Series X, the powerful one with the disc drive. So, yeah, it's nothing. It's not really going to be for me.
Well, that's the news then. Okay, we've got a question. Matt, what's our question?
Right, well... Our question is, what is your most hated level in a game that you would otherwise loved? So I think for this one, I'll pass it over to Mark.
Mine is the library from Halo Combat Evolved.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you remember this one.
Oh, I remember this one.
Now, I disliked it for a number of reasons, but a lot of it looks like it was the same. You were going through like the same corridors. It really bugged me that every corridor I went down just looked identical. And then you get to a point where suddenly you get hordes of floods coming after you, don't you? The flood. Mm. They turn up and then that's it. They're just on you. And it never ends, does it? It's just continuous. And I just completely got lost in the level. I was just running around. I had no idea where I had to go, how to get out, and so I was just constantly just being chased by these floods. I was just running around like a headless chicken, and then of course I ran out of ammo because I was just shooting everyone, and then literally just lugging it around for about 40 minutes, I think, just trying to find an exit.
40 minutes,
just panicking. Oh my God. And then eventually I found it, but then as soon as I got out, I just had to switch the game off and was like, right, I'll come back to that another day. I'm not carrying on playing that now. I've had enough. But yeah, that's mine. It just annoyed me.
Just to add that, I've played the HD the anniversary version of that level, and it does so much. It does a better job of being able to signal where you need to go, because like in the original, there's little like white glowing I suppose arrows that they're meant to tell you, right, this is where you need to kind of go. But it's kind of hard to really pinpoint them out on the original. Whereas, like, in the new one, everything just pops out so much nicer, and, like, they use much better textures for everything. So it's a much nicer playing experience on the anniversary edition.
I'll never be playing that one again, that's for sure. I'm done with that. So go on, Nathan, what's yours?
Mine? Well... the game is Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast. It also came out in a collection for the Xbox 360 as well. But yeah, really love Sonic Adventure. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain bit where you get to this casino, and basically you have to continuously play Sonic Pinball until you get enough rings to get this Chaos Emerald. So basically there's this room, and you've got to play a game of pinball to collect the rings. And then once you've finished, then you go into the room and then basically shake all of your rings out. And you need to get enough to be able to stand on the rings to get to the Chaos Emerald. And it might be because I was rubbish at it, but it used to take me so many tries to play this pinball game. I'm like, right, game, listen, I love the platforming side. I love the exploration side of it. Just let me do that. I don't want to play pinball. If I wanted to play pinball, I'd whack on the pinball game on the Game Gear. It just really frustrated me.
Did you play the one on Mega Drive, Sonic Spinball?
I've actually got it, but I've not played it yet. Now,
that's actually quite
probably my worst nightmare. But I'll see if it's any good. I'll play it at some point. But yeah, I just really didn't like that. Love the game, love everything about it. Love the story with Chaos and everything like that. But yeah, that bit just didn't like it. What about you, Matt?
I had my heart on the throat actually when you mentioned Sonic, because I thought you were actually going to say almost the same thing as I was. Luckily enough, it's not. It's a different Sonic game. It was Sonic the Hedgehog 3. I think it was the second level. It's called Hydro Sea Zone. The music in it, I actually love. I love music in most Sonic games, but the reason why I didn't really like this is mostly set underwater. And if you've ever played a Sonic game, and if you've ever played any of the war levels where Sonic is underwater, and he starts to run out of air, and you start hearing the dreaded music that kicks in. Like, as a kid, for me, that was... like, oh, God. Like, as a kid, for me, that was absolutely terrified me, because, like, it suddenly put me into a panic mode where I was like, I've got to find an underworld bubble. Where's those? And, like, I've got to get out of the water. And I was just like, oh, God. And then there's a platforming section in there where it's sort of half underwater, and then right towards the top, it comes back as, like, dry land. But you got to jump on these, like, moving platforms that like extend diagonally, then like move across, then come down. And the amount of times that I would get stuck in between two platforms and die is ridiculous. But yeah, that level would just terrify me every time I would hear that noise.
It's a good one.
So what are we currently playing? Well, to be honest, I think it's fairly safe to say that there's probably one particular game that we've all been playing. And that's, of course, The Last of Us Part 2. Now, we won't go into any story aspects, so don't worry if you've not played it yet. But just in terms of its gameplay and technical aspects, what was your thoughts, guys?
I think in terms of gameplay, I had some really nice variation, because you had the bits with the horse, you had the gun, well, of course, the traversing the area, like the parkour style stuff, climbing, the shooting, the melee fight. Some puzzly elements as well, I'll say, because there's some points where you do need to remember certain codes and information in order to unlock bits of the levels as you go through the game. So, yeah, I think it was really good. I enjoyed.
What were your thoughts, Matt?
On a gameplay standpoint, I think it's a nice evolution of what you the first game and what they'd learned from Uncharted 4. I think the stealth aspects of it were really well done, like so much more than what the first game did, like being able to prone into, you know, sort of long grass, but you weren't necessarily kind of then invisible. You know, if you know, the enemies came up to you close enough, you'd still be spotted. And so it had this nice element of you really had to plan essentially what you wanted to do about, so, you know, enemies' routes. And I really liked when they introduced bringing the dogs in, and, you know, it was shown that, like, oh, dogs could pick up your scent, so wherever you went, the dog would, you know, kind of not necessarily follow immediate, but it would follow to a certain track. And then you know, it gave an extra dimension to really kind of pulling you on that edge of you have to be on your toes quite a lot. It was really impressive.
Yeah, it added like an extra layer of complexity to stealth aspects, didn't it?
Yeah, and what I also kind of liked as well is that if say like one person died and like a guy came across like, oh, John's dead, like everyone's kind of then on alert, but it's not that kind of like, oh, they're on alert and then if they don't find you, they go back to their patrol routes. They still stay kind of on edge. They become less predictable at that point. Like where their routes used to be, now it's like now they start going on
a bit. They've absolutely become dumb all of a sudden. Like in the other game.
Yeah, no, yeah, the AI is really impressive with this one. I think graphically it's Naughty Dog's best looking game.
Yeah, I was going to mention graphics. There's one particular moment. All I'll say is it's when you're going the first bit, you're going through a forest. That just blew me away when I saw that graphically. That astonished me. I'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it had some incredible facial animations as well.
Mm, yes,
like the cutscenes in this game are incredible. Some of the best I've seen in any game.
Yeah. Seamless in some points as well. That's a bit that I really enjoyed. Just the as it transitions from cutscene to gameplay was just it just flowed so beautifully.
Yeah, it was really nice.
With all that being said, we're planning a special bonus episode of the podcast, which will be a spoiler special on The Last of Us Part 2, where we discuss all the main talking points of the game. And we're just, to be honest, we're all just really desperate to talk about it, aren't we? We just want to get into the nitty-gritty. So look out for that to be released in the near future. So, Nathan, what else have you been playing?
What else? So, as always, I've been playing a bit of FIFA. So I've been continuing my meteoric rise with Sunderland. So we've just won the League Cup against Manchester United. We managed to beat them 2-0. So that's going well. Also completed Gears of War 5. So, a worthy successor to Gears of War 4, just same old in terms of gameplay, really. Just tons of beefy men shooting creatures, splatting their heads off, chainsawing. Yeah, it's really fun. It expanded the story, so you got to learn where the locust actually came from. Won't give anything away. You learn the lineage of the Locust Queen and how she came to be. And and near the end, you do have to make a quite a difficult decision. But it's really good, and can't wait for Gear 6 now. Other than that, I've just been playing WarioWare Gold on the 3DS. So basically, Wario is a bit strapped for cash, so he wants to try and earn some money. So he calls all of his game developer friends up, and they basically make him 300 games. And you're charged about 10,000 coins to enter this competition against other people. And basically, you've got to beat all 300 games in order to win. Going through that in the minute. And it's fun. What about you, Mark?
So after the brutality and emotional rollercoaster of Last of Us Part 2, I felt I really needed like some sort of palate cleanser. So I played a little game called Donut Counter. It's a charming game that's about a quirky array of characters who end up being trapped 999 feet below the surface of the aforementioned donut counter. And you get to play through each of the characters' flashbacks as to how they got there. And basically, it mainly boils down to a raccoon called BK who runs a donut shop in the area. Stay with me. So whenever BK sells a donut to anyone, what actually happens is that a hole opens up in the ground on their property. Right? So I guess you could call it a puzzle game. It's probably the closest genre I could call it. So basically, you control the hole on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you've got to try and engulf every object in a level. I move the hole.
I think I've seen this, yes. So
yeah,
you take
and build
everything. So it starts really small and expands, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so you start with a small hole. So obviously, you're just swallowing up the small rocks and that kind of thing. And then it grows bigger as the more objects you suck into it. And then suddenly you engulf an entire farmhouse in the end of it. It's funny, amusing, and it's just what I needed after playing The Last of Us Part 2. But it's quite a short game. I completed it in under 2 hours, just in one city. I would encourage you to play it. I thought I found it good fun. What about you, Matt?
Right, so, before I moved on to The Last of Two, don't know whether I'm really bigging this up a bit too much potentially, but I've finally completed Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yay!
After 3 podcasts worth of saying that I've been playing this game. But yeah, there's essentially just kind of 2 last targets to go after. A bit of shenanigans in between trying to get him to the point where you end up being betrayed. Surprise, surprise. In an Assassin's Creed game. But yeah, I finally played it. Absolutely would recommend it. If no one's ever played Assassin's Creed game, I'd absolutely recommend this one and probably Black Flag as like the ones to get into. Sorry, Mark. Outside of that, I've also got back into Horizon Zero Dawn. I'd had it at launch and I enjoyed what I'd played to a certain extent of it. I didn't get massively far, but for whatever reason, I just kind of just stopped playing it. Maybe other things came out that took, you know, my fancy and stuff. So after watching the Sony's State of Play and seeing that, you know, the second one's is going to be on its way at some point, I thought, well, what better time to start getting back into it, into the first one. So my first experience back in wasn't brilliant, I must admit. Kind of spawned in, gone to a mount to get to a certain place, and then got attacked by a massive mechanical bird that decided to rain down thunderbolts on me and killed me. So that was a nice welcome back. But I'm starting to get back into the swing of things, and just carrying on and enjoying the beautiful world that Guerrilla made for it.
I'm going to have to get onto that at some point, aren't I? Oh, so many games to play before.
That's the
next generation. And they're all massive as well.
I've got a massive backlog.
Well, I think you can complete Horizon in about 30 hours. It's not that bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that bad.
I've still got, like, God of War. I've not touched that.
Oh, God of War's only 20. You'll be fine.
Yeah, God of War is shorter than that. It's still not a short game, though.
No, not on the grand scheme of things. It's not like a Call of Duty finished campaign in a day kind of session.
I've still got Spider-Man to play and Horizon to finish. So I think they're the two main ones for me.
Spider-Man's a long game as well. Yeah. Spider-Man's a long game.
Anyway, we have a question. What game did you pay full... Well, what game did you pay the full price for and it disappointed you? Do you want to go first, Mark?
Okay, so I was a fan of this series until I bought this particular one. And this game just made me do a complete 180 switch on this franchise. So I bought it on launch, very excited. Got home and opened up a complete nightmare. And the game in question is Driver 3.
Oh.
Now,
you've brought up nightmares.
So the sheer difficulty of it was off the scale to begin with. So if you were chasing a car and it went out of sight for like a second, the game would just say, game over. It's just like, it was so repetitive, you just have to keep repeating the same stupid thing where you have to go weave in and out of like 2 cars, inevitably smack into a wall, and then the car would be disappeared and gone, and it's like, I can't bother with this. And then, of course, we had the incredible number of bugs in the game. So cars just spawning out of nowhere, cars floating 20 feet above the roads, the car you're driving disappearing, leaving Tanner, which is your character, just sat there in midair, pretending to hold onto a steering wheel. You crash into an object in a motorbike and you go flying like 100 feet into the sky. And it was ridiculous. I've never seen anything quite like it. And now these games were advertised as sort of like the alternative to the GTA games. I don't know if you ever caught.
Yeah.
But the developers, so there was Reflections and, of course, Rockstar. And they took pot shots at each other in their games. I don't know if you ever noticed any of these. But I remember in GTA 3, there was a mission where you had to chase down a character called Tanner in the mission, and they describe him, and I quote, a strangely animated undercover cop who is more or less useless outside of his car.
Wow, that's a pretty deep
so, yeah, that was Rockstar having a dig at them. But then in Driver 3, they tried to return fire to Rockstar in the most tepid way possible. So throughout the game, you could find characters called Tommy Vermicelli, who wore Hawaiian shirts and wore armbands.
Mm.
Do you get it? It's a pun on Tommy Vercetti, you know, from GTA Vice City.
Yeah.
And he's wearing armbands because he can't swim. Hey, did you get it? But the difference here is that Vice City was actually a playable game, whereas Driver 3 was just atrocious in every sense. It's like, I'm sure no one playtested this game. And I read that apparently it went through development hell because I think they were trying to work through, do you remember Stuntman, which they also developed? I think they were in the middle of trying to complete that, but they were also in a rush to try and complete this soon afterwards. So it just ended up a complete mess. And there was also, there was accusations of unsavory practices by Atari that they handed out early access copies to certain publications in exchange for favourable reviews.
Oh,
and that wasn't very good either. And this game is so bad that this game has actually become a running joke between me and a good mate of mine called Scott. And we both play this and we play it and just think, what is this crap? And so now anytime we witness any daft glitch in a game or even something just stupid in real life, we'll just yell out, Driver 3! Because it's just become that sort of thing. But yeah, that's mine. Yeah.
So I do have two on my list, but I think the one that's going to have to stand out for me was a game that on paper looked like a perfect match of two franchises that should have gone together and just for whatever reason didn't quite work out. It wasn't that it was a bad game, but the potential was for it to be brilliant was really high for me. And that game was Quantum of Solace for the Xbox 360. So if you don't know what that was, I believe that was Infinity Ward's go at trying to do James Bond in first person. So it was like, I think it covered a little bit of Casino Royale, but it was mainly set in the film Quantum of Solace. And you would think kind of, you know, James Bond, first-person shooter, get to use all sorts of gadgets and stuff. You know, it's made by the guys who had just done. I think they'd just done. It was either Cold G4 Modern Warfare beforehand, or it was Modern Warfare 2. But like, they were obviously on a high. You know, Infinity Ward was like the kings of FPS at that point. And so you think, you know, this would be a no-brainer having James Bond just merged in with like a Call of Duty aspect of playing. But it just, I don't know, just like. It was really uninspired. The missions were a bit kind of bland. There was nothing. If the name James Bond or the branding James Bond wasn't on it, you just thought it was just like a semi decent functional kind of first person shooter. I don't know. Just like it should have been a lot more than what it was. And to give it a little bit of its credit, I thought the multiplayer that it did have. Was pretty decent because it was essentially just let's just copy Call of Duty multiplayer but put James Bond levels in, and you know, although the shotguns were absolutely OP, like you could snipe from one end of the level to the other with the shotgun, it was ridiculous. But yeah, I just feel like the hype that I gave myself for it and it just not reaching that was just incredibly disappointing for me. So
I think Quantum of Solace was an awful film as well. So,
well, that was it. Yeah, if you make a game based on a James Bond film, go the GoldenEye route. or even saying that, they did like the remastered version of that. I don't know if that was any good or not.
Wii version of GoldenEye?
Yeah, it wasn't like GoldenEye Reloaded or something.
Yeah, used. Daniel Craig's skin instead of
obviously. Yeah, it was like, oh, play as Daniel Craig's James Bond through the GoldenEye story. But it's like, I heard the shooting was just not brilliant, and didn't really touch the original, which was obviously an instant classic for the N64.
A tough act to follow.
Yeah, so that's my unfortunate pick. So what's yours, Nathan?
Mine. So, let me set the scene. Nathan's just had his birthday. He's opened up all his birthday cards and he's got a little bit of money to spend. So I decided to go to the shop and buy myself a nice new game. And what sticks out to me on the gaming shelf but Sonic 06. Now, I know this game is, well, if you've played it before, you'll understand. But generally, it's not liked by Sonic fans. I'll be honest, I quite liked the game, even though it had quite a few problems. I mean, it was insanely difficult to beat, in my opinion, but that's mainly because of all the glitches it had. Yeah, it was just such a glitchy game. And yeah, there was a couple of bits that stood out for me. So there was one section where you have to fight this new hedgehog called Silver, and he's got like psychic powers. And basically, if he got you into a corner, he could hold you with his psychic powers and thrash you into a wall. But because the wall's already there, it sticks you there, and he just continuously does it until you die. Like, oh my goodness, I can't even do this. It must have taken me a good 10 goes to beat Silver, and I must have got lucky then. Anyway, I managed to get to the end of the game. And spoiler alert, well, if you've not played it by now, 14 years on, then you're never going to play it. Sonic seemingly dies, and but he gets brought back to life. But the way he gets brought back to life is that the princess has to kiss him. So there's this human girl kissing this anthropomorphic hedgehog. And, oh, that absolute... I think the Sonic community just went absolutely crazy at that point. Like, oh my goodness, Sonic's kissing a girl. And yeah, I think at that point I was just done. I'm like... Thanks for my 60 gamer score. I've done it now, and that's going back on the shelf, never to be seen again. And I've still got it actually, but I've never gone back to it since.
I just to add a bit of a side note to that one. I think I had it ingrained to me just that part that you were talking about where you kind of fight Silver for the first time as Sonic. And I've just got ingrained to me just like Silver keeps on like repeating over like, "It's no use," and then like as it's freezing, and then it'll freeze you, and they froze you away. And if you don't get away from them quick enough, which 9 times out of 10 you didn't, because this game was bad as hell, it just kept on saying that over time, just like, "It's no use," and like, "Oh my god!"
So was it almost like the game was mocking you?
Yeah, pretty much. Like I would wake up in cold sweats, just like having that in my ear, just
shouting, "It's no use."
Yeah. And oh god, that was such a bad game. The loading times as well were. There must have been like a good few minutes.
The loading times were insane.
No, but the bad thing
between
is
levels.
Yes, the bad thing is you'd in this like the overview map. You'd speak to someone. Or no, you press the interact button. It'd go into a load screen, which is about a minute. He would say his bit. It'd go into another load screen that's about a minute. Then you do whatever mini game it is that you need to do. You've done it, load screen for a minute, talk to him again, well done, you've done it, load screen again for a minute, and then you get back to like a normal thing. It's like, there was no F.
The thing is, 99% of the time, you didn't even need any of the dialogue these people were saying. It was just, "Nice day, Sonic. Oh, thanks, I waited 2 minutes for that." Yeah, anyway, that one's mine, Sonic 06.
So now we move on to the Video Game Hall of Fame. This is where we take an in-depth look at a game of high quality or historical importance and induct it into our pantheon of games we feel deserve special recognition. Our inductee this episode was released on November the 19th, 2006 for the Nintendo Wii. Having sold over 82 million copies, it is the best-selling single-platform game of all time. Developed and published by Nintendo, it's Wii Sports.
Woo! Everybody loves a bit of Wii Sports. So, yeah. Basically, Wii Sports was packaged with the Wii. It's one of the reasons why it sold so many copies. It was a collection of 5 different games. So firstly, we had tennis. So that was a game that you could play between 1 and 4 players locally, or you could play against the computer. You could play between 1 and 5 sets, and you used the Wii remote as you'd use a tennis racket, really. So just use the Wii remote and hit the ball, basically, until you beat your opponent or lose. Did you play that much?
Well, I played it recently, and you have to play as a doubles match, don't you? Unless, I couldn't find a way to play singles anyway.
I'm sure you can play single. Yeah, you get the option between single or double. So,
oh, maybe I just missed that option then.
Yeah, it's on one of the first screens. You can choose whether you want to play singles or doubles.
Well, basically, it's like my character will like playing both players. Mm-hmm. The one side of
so
the
when net. You hit it, they both hit it at the same time.
So it's like so swinging for like trying to get the first person to hit it, and then if they missed it, I've just got to wildly swing again to try and get the second person to hit it.
Yeah. Every time I'd win a point, and I knew it was going to go out for me, I'd just like frantically shake the Wii remote and watch the players go crazy. Like,
was it really difficult? Because it automatically assigned like a difficulty level like to like the opponents.
Yeah, like they got so you like start off level. With beginner, and then eventually it goes up as your experience grows.
Yeah, but I swear this player was like double my level. So it's like I was up against like 1,000 level pros, mm-hmm. and I couldn't win a game for the life of me. I had 3 games, lost every single one. I think I won about 2 points in total.
Yeah. Of all the games we're going to talk about, tennis one was my favourite. It was the one that I was best at. Mm. I always enjoyed that. I managed to get my me to the top tier and absolutely demolish the computer. And played it locally with a few friends as well, so that was always fun. I've got one story actually that's fairly funny. So, as people may know, on your Wii controller they had the Wii strap that you strap around your arm, just in case the Wii controller didn't fling out of your hand. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I thought I was above all that. I was like, oh, I know how to use my hands. I'm not going to fling the controller into the television or across the room. And one day I was playing tennis, and basically I went to take a shot. The controller flung out of my hand into my girlfriend at the time's fireplace, smashed the fireplace up, because basically there was a pane of glass, because it was like a furnace style. So they've put coal in the fire, and then they opened and closed the door and then locked it in place. But there was this glass panel, and it cracked the glass panel. So I was like, oh my goodness, because at the time I was doing business in college, and I got £30 a week EMA, and that was like the government subsidy if you were poor, for anyone that doesn't know. And I was like, oh my goodness, if they find out, it's going to cost me about £100 to fix. Anyway, we ended up lying to the landlord and saying, no, it broke on its own while the fire was on. So they came around and replaced it. It was all good in the end. But yeah, from then onwards, I always use the grip thing, because I was always scared of something going wrong again. So that's my little story.
Was the remote fine? That's the big question.
Oh yeah, the remote was fine. Yeah. I picked it up, all like, oh my goodness, it's indestructible. This pane of glass must have been a good half an inch thick as well. It's insane.
How fast were you flinging this thing? You must have been really getting into it.
Oh yeah, definitely yeah. Well, that's one thing that people found as they got to grips with the game, is that you didn't really have to do the actions as much as you thought you would. So you could just literally just flick your wrist a little bit and it'll do the action.
But you were going for proper authenticity.
But I was going for it, yeah. This is it now. Doing the moans and everything like, a proper tennis match. But that's my little story. So the next one we had was bowling. So, again, it could be between 1 and 4 players. The single-player version was that basically you played a round of bowling. You have 20 shots in total. More if you get a strike towards or a spare on the last shot. And it's basically try and get as close to 300 points as you can. I enjoyed this one as well.
I quite like this one. It's very relaxing, I found this. Compared to all the other ones, it's just much easier. Because you didn't have to move about. I've played like other bowling games with like motion controls. You have to do like the proper kneel down sort of thing. And just like, you don't have to do that. It's just arm move. See, you held the
B button
on the back, didn't you?
And then release it as you want to take
as you throw it forward.
Yeah.
Although I did do some like P rollers as well. I did some of that.
Oh yeah.
So it just trickled down.
I did a few shots where it like you pull it back incorrectly and it just flies behind you into the crowd.
I had moments where I just like threw it upwards and then suddenly the pop up just came up saying you're not pressing this button right.
Yeah. That's yeah. It. Don't tell me what to do. I know yeah. how to bowl.
It's like I've just been doing that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I did get 300 once on my friend's Wii. Yeah, that's what they
I'll get
say.
You, eh? Get you.
Yeah, yeah. I'm quite good at it. I mean, to be honest, tennis and bowling, I think, were my two favourites. We'll get onto the other game shortly, but...
I think that yeah. I think the bowling was the most accessible one for everyone, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. There wasn't too much to it. There was, like, pull the Wii remote back, forward, really speed, let it go, and you could aim and all that kind of stuff. It was just... That's one of the great things about Wii Sports. I think every single game had its... a level of accessibility, and it was just easy.
I think the bowling in particular is one because I think a lot of people in general life will have been bowling, not necessarily done any of the other ones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I liked the bowling mini games as well. So there's basically there's certain ones where you've got to like try and get down 100 pins, and it's just a case of aiming it and like try to smash the ball as quickly as possible to try and knock all these pins down. So I really enjoyed those ones. So they were always fun. So the next one we've got is boxing. So I think this one was one of my least favourites because I wasn't very good at it. So boxing, you could play one or two players or against the computer. And basically, you use the nunchuck with this one as well. So it wasn't just the Wii remote. You would plug the nunchuck into the bottom of the Wii remote and then hold one in each hand. And then you could then use that for dodging and counter-punching as you fight your opponent.
Yeah, this one was all about timing, wasn't it? It's like, you kept them up as if you were trying to block.
Yeah, yeah, keeping the hands up.
I couldn't really see what was happening, though. It just seemed there's a lot of slapping noises.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like more of luck rather than any skill to it.
Because I was swinging my arms quite wildly, and a lot of the times it just wasn't doing anything.
That's it, just flailing around.
Yeah, this seems to be the least responsive one I found. It's like, PJ, hit him! And then it's just like, just... But when you did land a punch, there was a very satisfying thwack sound that came out of the remote. I really liked that.
Definitely. I think this game was one of the reasons why they came out with the Wii Motion Plus, because of the way the original Wii controller worked. It wasn't as reactive as they wanted it to be, so they eventually upgraded the controller. It were either upgraded via an add-on, so you could plug it into the bottom to give it the Motion Plus technology, or they built it into the remotes eventually down the line. So if you got the Motion Plus, then you will see a bit more of a spike in usability. But that's the boxing one.
So we have golf.
Yes, yeah.
This one was difficult, I thought. So, it allowed you a bit of customization. So, you can have a 3 or 9-hole course, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And you could choose beginner, intermediate, or expert for the 3-hole course. But I don't think, was there an option for the 9-hole? Let's see if there was. It's very odd.
I'm not 100% sure. I always used to pick beginner because I wasn't very good and I just wanted a relaxing experience.
Yeah. So basically what you had to do is you had to hold the controller down at you, straight down ahead of you, as if you were swinging a golf club. Mm-hmm. But you had to try and keep it parallel as well, didn't you, as you're swinging it. So if say it's pointed downwards and the buttons are facing outwards, throughout your entire swing, you've got to try and keep the buttons facing ahead of you. That was tough. And then when you swing, you get the, if you're doing it wrong, you hear this like, wobble. Wobble.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. If you'd like overpowered it or something.
So you just end up shanking the ball.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gave you a bit of information, didn't it? So it told you things like wind direction and speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you could try and like gauge how you needed to do your shot.
Yeah.
I found putting really difficult. Like I'd either overpower it so it flied past the hole, or I'd do it like I wouldn't put enough power in it, it'd just move a little bit and then I'd just get eventually the game would give up on me because I'd taken too many shots and I'd automatically move on to the next hole.
Yeah, it's like you think you've got it sussed and then no matter what you do, it always tends to go wrong, I found.
So the next one we've got is baseball.
Yes, the last game.
Yeah, so this is the fifth game. So this could be played with either one or two players. I never played against anybody on this game. I always played against the computer. So there's two sides to this game. So firstly, you're doing the hitting.
Yeah, the batting first.
So
yeah.
The batting first, yep. So you've got somebody throwing the ball at you and you've got to hit the ball in a certain way in order to and use certain power. So it's mostly about timing. Timing your hit properly.
Yeah.
If you don't hit the ball three times and it gets caught, then you're out. And then it moves on to the next person. But it's all about getting as many of your players round the...
score as many runs as possible by running.
As many runs as possible. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to say around the pitch. But yeah, as many runs as possible. Eventually, once all of your players are out, then you switch over and you're doing the pitching at that point. Yeah, at that point, it's your turn to try and catch the ball when the opponent team hits it. So,
Well, the fielding was computer controlled, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So obviously, when you're pitching, you're just doing like an overarm throw.
Mm. On the Wii version, it is at least, yeah. But we'll get into that.
This was actually my favourite of the five games because I'm actually quite a fan of baseball. So. To get the chance to actually play an interactable version of it. That, it wasn't a difficult game, this either, was it?
Not really, no. I mean, eventually, if you got to a certain amount of points ahead, the other team would forfeit, or you would forfeit if you got ahead. But, if you lost. But, it wasn't really difficult. I mean, once you got to grips with when you needed to hit the ball and in what position, then that side of it was easy. And again, as you said...
Yeah.
It's computer controlled for the pitching side of it, so you didn't really need to worry about that. We're just getting the hits in. Yeah,
it's very satisfying the hitting a home run. I managed to do a few of them when I went back on this.
When it flies into the crowd, it's like home run.
No, what amused me when I went back and played this, I don't know if this is in everyone's game or if I created them and completely forgot about it. I don't know, but I found I had like three interesting teammates on my side.
Oh, just some like random me's.
No, but I found I had Batman as my first baseman. The Joker is my catcher and Darth Vader is my second baseman.
That's got to be you.
I have no idea where these came from. I don't remember ever making them, but they were there.
Did anybody else ever have a go on your Wii?
I don't know.
I can remember. Used to be able to import characters as well. So if somebody set up a me that you like the look of, you could actually import them.
I might have done that though, but I don't remember doing it. So it was just, it's just like, hang on. There's some like trademark copyrights going on here.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, that was funny. That just made me giggle. The fact that I just had this team of superheroes and villains on my side.
Yeah, cool. So eventually they came out with a variant of Wii Sports for the Wii U called Wii Sports Club. And in terms of tennis, bowling and boxing, it was the same in terms of gameplay. But they changed it a bit for golf and baseball. So for golf, you use the Wii U pad to do the hitting and putting. So basically your Wii remote would point down at your Wii U pad. And you can see the ball, and you can basically, as you're moving the Wii pad over it, you could see you're about to hit it. So it just added another level there where you could see how you're going to hit the ball, how powerful it's going to be when you're looking down, so you don't have to look up at the screen as you're trying to do your hit.
Oh, so it's like you're looking down on the tee.
Yeah. So it added that little bit more of an immersion to the game. So that was that's pretty cool. And they also changed baseball a bit. So they brought pitching into it with the Wii U controller. So basically you were the bowler and you can, depending on which button you pressed, you can change how you're going to be throwing the ball, because basically you would hold the controller up in front of you and you can see the person that's going to hit the ball in front of you. Choose how you're going to throw the ball, how fast it's going to go. So it gives you a bit more control there.
Yeah.
And also, when they've hit the ball, you become one of the fielders.
All right.
And as the ball's coming down, you hold the Wii remote above your head. You can see the ball coming down. And as if you get the ball so you can see it and it's coming down, you actually catch the ball.
Oh, so that's representing your glove.
Yeah. Right. That's it. So
that's
yeah,
pretty innovative, actually. That's really
yeah. Cool. So it's a couple of really nice add-ons, and I think it really added to the immersion of both of those games. What they also did is incorporated online play, so you could play against other people with all the games, so tennis, bowling, boxing, golf, and baseball. So you could play people online, which is always nice. And they had a couple of different training modes for golf and bowling as well. So I think it's a nice little add-on. And if you've got a Wii U, I'd advocate to get it because it's just fun. You get the nostalgia side because you can play the bowling and the tennis and boxing as you've always played it. But then you get the nice little add-ons with the golf and the baseball. So, yeah, a nice little game there. But, yeah, I think Wii Sports as a whole, I think it was... it was a fantastic entry to motion controls at the time, when it had not really been done at that scale, I think, before. Because, well, the Wii was the first console to really take it on as its sole. I don't want to say gimmick, but it was its selling point.
Yeah,
So, and I think it was open to everybody. So everyone, whether you're young or old, you at the time... you were clambering to buy a Wii. At one point, they were like gold dust because people were just buying them up that quickly. I think it was about £180 on release, but some people were selling them for goodness knows how much, sometimes £400 to £500.
I think its popularity was down to basically how, obviously, the motion functions just represent things in everyday life. So you can easily identify with things. Like, well, everyone knows what a tennis racket is, what you do with a tennis racket. So anybody of any age can just... do that. They know exactly what to do.
Yeah, just
you don't really need to go through this extended learning period. If you wanted to get really good at it, of course, you practice. But anyone can get up and join. And obviously, it's good for like parties, isn't it? I think that was one of the big selling points about Wii Sports.
Yeah, well, that's it. If you got a few friends over, so a lot of the games were four player. So if you got a few friends, you got a few people watching as well, see who's going to win, and you can get a nice little
need quite a bit of space though.
Session going well, that yeah,
smacking each other around back of heads.
Yeah, definitely with the I think the golf took up quite a lot of space for the swinging side of it, and the bowling as well.
Four player tennis, like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure someone had smashed skulls after playing that.
Yeah, I think a lot of stories did come out about, well, things being broken, as I know, and people getting injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now that's been picked up by VR now, hasn't it?
People, well, that's it, yeah.
So the trend continues.
Falling into things, yeah. That's it. We're just clumsy meat sacks. So, yeah, that's Wii Sports, and I think it's a very worthy inductee into the Video Game Hall of Fame. And loved by a lot of people.
A game for all.
Hmm. Right, so after another exciting podcast, I think that's us done for the day. So if you enjoyed listening to us, please consider tuning in next time. We release bi-weekly. You can visit our website at jokingdolphin.com, where we post blogs and other things. Also, feel free to follow us on all social media platforms to continue the conversation. You can find us at Joking Dolphin on Facebook and at Joking Dolphin on Instagram and Twitter. Until next time, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.